the day after in Boston.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, the 16th of April. And there was a moment of silence this morning on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange in honor of the victims of yesterday's tragic bombings at the Boston Marathon. We're going to talk now with a woman who works very close to where the bombings took place. Laura Peril is the executive director of a nonprofit called Edvesters, and she is with us now from Boston. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, you're about to head into the office. What is your first priority today? What do you need to do as the leader of an organization that's based very close to the crime scene?
Well, once we made sure everyone was safe, then our first responsibility is really, as you know, citizens and residents of the city of Boston, to listen to the governor, the mayor, and the law enforcement personnel and try and follow their lead around what they need. The entire area around Back Bay is a 15-block crime scene.
Right.
So, you know, yes, we want to get back to work, and yes, we want to do our job, but first we want to let the law enforcement personnel do their job. So they've asked people to hang back, stay out of that general area, follow the cordoned off roads. We're just outside, so we figure we'll wait until after the rush hour, and assuming everything's okay, you know, let our team come in at 11.
Have you spoken with members of your team? How are they feeling this morning?
Yes, we've been on virtual communication in addition to our coworker who was running, and fortunately, a half mile back. Two of our board members were down watching. One of them was just a block away when the bombs went off. So between, you know, all 13 of us and then some, we did what any family does, check on each other, check on friends, and we used email and text primarily. And, you know, I think most of the team are feeling the way most residents of Boston are feeling, you know, really absorbing the dimensions of the tragedy, you know, compassion for the victims, really respect and admiration for the heroism of the first responders and everyone who works in a hospital in the city of Boston. What they did yesterday, last night, and still today is superhuman in responding to this. And so I think the rest of us who aren't first responders just have to stay back and stay out of the way and be supportive.
Laura Peril runs Edvesters, a nonprofit in Boston. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Well, of all the programs in the federal budget, Section 8 housing doesn't have much fat to cut. The program provides rent vouchers to families earning less than $13,000 a year on average. But sequestration has left housing authorities with a stark choice. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Rowan Moore Garrity reports.
Raylan Lewis.
In the lobby of the Los Angeles City Housing Authority, Chanel Henderson waits with her 2-year-old daughter, Heaven, sitting on her lap. Henderson tells me she has never heard of the sequester, but as a result of sequestration, she may soon see her rent rise by as much as $200 a month.
That's a lot for people who are already struggling.
Henderson is a single mother and a full-time nursing student. Her main source of income is a monthly welfare check. She says a $200 rent increase may be too much.
With my income now, I already don't have enough left over at the end from paying my rent and then bills.
Up to 24,000 Los Angeles families, that's half the people in Section 8, will see a rent increase before the end of this year. Doug Guthrie is president and CEO of the city's housing authority.
Although we're impacting a large part of the population, what we don't want to do is to actually have to take people off of the program entirely.
The reason people are in Section 8 housing is because they have nowhere else to turn. Most are senior citizens or people with disabilities and families with children. When rents go up,
sadly, I believe it is going to have a negative impact on homelessness.
For its size, L.A. has more homeless people than any city in the country. Greg Spiegel is public policy director for L.A.'s Inner City Law Center. He says in recent years, the city has built more supportive housing to fight chronic homelessness.
Section 8 rental subsidies are right at the heart of that solution. If Congress wanted to pass a budget cut that would make the most people in Los Angeles homeless, this is exactly the budget cut they would do.
Spiegel says saving money on subsidies only to cause more homelessness is penny-wise and pound-foolish.
When people are homeless, there's an increased use in emergency rooms, healthcare costs, mental health services, the court system, policing, shelters. These are all very expensive services.
But those services, like homeless shelters, they've also been hit by cuts to the federal budget. In Los Angeles, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
We'll get earnings today from Yahoo, whose new CEO, Marissa Mayer, has attracted a lot of attention for her aggressive acquisitions. And as Marketplace's Sabri Benishor reports, some of those acquisitions are all about the people who come with them.
Yahoo bought Sumly, Snippet, Jibe, among other small startups you may never have heard of.
Yahoo is buying people's companies that are very talented, especially in mobile, which is where consumer demand is moving.
That's analyst Laura Martin with Needham & Co. The strategy basically is smart people will develop smarter products. Shares are up more than 50% under Mayer. Thing is, analysts say it has nothing to do with her or Yahoo's main business.
The vast majority of the underlying appreciation Yahoo stock is due to the tremendous growth and value of the company's Asian assets.
Brian Weiser is an analyst with Pivotal Research Group. He says Yahoo owns a big stake in Yahoo Japan, an independent web portal, and Alibaba, a Chinese e-commerce company that sold more last year than Amazon and eBay combined. They're both growing 40 to 60% per year and pushing up Yahoo stock. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
We are online at marketplace.org, on Twitter at MarketplaceAPM, and we're on Facebook at APM Marketplace. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.